the message this morning actually starts out, and it's the title as well, but as a question. Could it all be in our head? Could it all be in our head? It says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So, here, I have a circle. And we're going to call that our mind. Okay? Can anybody, can you see that for the most part? Okay. So, here's a circle. And like I said, let's call it our mind. And did you know, if you haven't figured it already out, it's the most prime piece of real estate that you will ever have. Or maybe one of the most valuable pieces of real estate that you have. Why? It's because this is where you are going to win or you are going to lose the battle. Because I've said it many times, when Satan comes against you, where's the first place he's going to go? Is right there. And he's going to start doing what? He's going to start putting fear or doubt. Or he's going to lie to you. He's going to tempt you. But let me not jump ahead of myself. When we were young, this space was, for the most part, clean, empty, clear, right? And it was fresh. It was willing to learn. As a child, you were willing to learn and to grow and to receive whatever came at you. But then life comes along. Life come along and it happens, and once that clean slate that you used to have is now starting to get filled up with different things. So, we're going to start with a few of them this morning. How about, let's go with, yep, I knew that was going to happen. Let's go with this one first. Oh, it's down there. Can you get that? Let's go with this one first. Lies. I'm not saying that you lied. I'm saying that somebody came up and lied to you. So when somebody lies to you, the first thing you're going to say is, I'm never going to believe what they have to say ever again. Because they lied to me, or they have a tendency to lie. How about the next one would be, let's go with this one here this morning. You're all sticking together this morning. How about this one? Cheating. Kind of similar in a way. If someone is cheating on you, and I'm not saying it's a spouse, what I'm saying is maybe it's a coworker. Maybe you've worked at a goal to get to a certain spot in your career, and somebody climbed the rung and they used you as one of the rungs to get up to where they wanted to be, and they cheated on their way up. Maybe a friend, maybe a brother or a sister. How about this one here? Neglect. What I mean by neglect, maybe it's somebody that you just love so much and you admire and you respect them, but they don't give you the time of day. Oh, you're in the room. I didn't even notice you were here. So you tend to start building up emotions that are negative emotions because of these experiences. How about hurt? Maybe physical hurt, maybe emotional hurt. How about sins that you've committed? And maybe some of those sins you're saying, well, I can justify that sin because this happened to me. I can justify not having forgiveness for this person because they did me wrong, but it's still a sin. Okay? How about addiction? That definitely can not only impact your life, but your family's life, or vice versa. Let's say it's not you that's addicted, but someone you know is addicted to drugs, to alcohol, to, there's so many things, to gambling. There's so many things that you can become addicted to. I'm addicted to caffeine. I'm addicted to cappuccinos, and if I can have them without being miserable after I've had one, which doesn't happen, so I have an addiction, and it's one of my weaknesses. And I'll justify having it. That's the first one I've had in a week, or whatever, okay? But it's still something that holds me captive, okay? How about sickness? Now, I think we, if I had a marker, I could, I meant to grab one this morning, but we could add to this. Does anyone want to throw one on here? I can write it down on a pen. Anyone want to add one before I move on? Anyone think of one? Something that's in your mind that you just seem to, you just can't shake. And you go, well, I don't want to put out my dirty laundry and fire everybody and their brother here this morning. The reason I'm showing these this morning is that as we look at this, is this a problem? Absolutely. It is a problem. So what happens to this piece of prime real estate that we have right here? What happens to it? That prime piece of real estate begins to be occupied by this stuff, the negative stuff. It devalues this real estate that we have. It devalues it. It's preventing us from doing the things that God has for us to do. It stops our focus on what God has for our future. It holds us back from expanding and growing and loving and caring for others because we're caught up in this stuff. Romans 8 says, those who live according to the flesh then have their mind set on what the flesh does. So if our flesh is caught up in this, we cannot move forward. But then it goes on to say, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. So as we begin to fill our lives up with God's Word, with His Word, it begins to take the place of what's up here. Now, all these things are squatters, and they're not going to leave. They're pretty comfortable right where they are. They don't want to go anywhere else. Remember when Jesus sent the demons into the pigs? They were pretty comfortable where they were at, but Jesus took them out of the person and put them in the pigs. But until we make a choice, are we going to hold on to this stuff? Or are we going to hold on to this? Because this, there's no room for this if this is in here. Again, we could have added more to this. But where would it go? So the more we pick up on this, one by one, this stuff is going to be taken off of the board, taken out of there. God has granted us freedom in Him. He says, you can find freedom and hope in me. But He's also saying that when you find that freedom and hope in me, your mind is going to be free, set free from all of this. But again, it doesn't happen overnight. Last week, we had children right here in this front row who came early for children's church. And the Spirit led me into praying the prayer of salvation. And all of you helped them pray that prayer of salvation. Some of you maybe have never prayed the prayer of salvation. But the thing is this, that when we accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we are starting a new life. We're starting a new beginning. And when we do that, we can take this word and simply replace this word with what's here. Some call it stinking thinking. How many of us want to get rid of that stinking thinking? And I think I've maybe thrown this out at you a few times. Are you thinking about what you're thinking about? You're like, say what? Are you thinking about what you're thinking about? I catch myself many a times. I'll be driving down the road, and I'll be thinking about something. And when I get home and I'm going, I don't remember stopping at that stop sign back there, because my brain was someplace else. My daughter said to me, because I was telling her, I asked her the other day, I said, did you ever experience that? And she goes, Mom, because she used to work in Peoria at the Wound Center. And she goes, you know what? She goes, I get to Henry and go, did I go through Chillicothe already? Because her mind is so, you know, 2 hours ahead of herself. So the thing is this, we've got to, like when Cheryl and her were in there to pray this morning, I'm like, and I didn't even realize it, but I was, you know, not hyperventilating, but I was trying to catch up to myself because I had this to do and kids stuff, all that put together. And I had to just say, I just had to go. And that's what God wants us to do in his house. He wants us to come in here. And he wants us to lay that garbage at the foot of the cross. He wants us to take the cares of the world and lay them at the foot of the cross. This is a place to come and find not only peace, but find rest, find hope, find love, find encouragement. But again, when life happens, this stuff wants to take its place. It wants to come in, and it wants to just fill your mind up. It wants to squat itself down in that spot. And it's not going to go until you make up your mind that right now I'm going to think about what I'm thinking about. Is it positive? Is it good? Is it encouraging? Because I know you're saying, well, I wouldn't think anything, you know, when I think about people, I don't think negative about people. But do you do it to yourself? Do you beat yourself up? I didn't know this until I was studying this last week. It says, experts tell us that we have 90,000 to 100,000 thoughts every single day. That seems a little high, but that's a lot of thoughts. So no wonder why we can't catch up to ourselves. Our thoughts are sure important to us. We think of family. We think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the people that we want to pray for, and the people we want to encourage. And like was said, spoken earlier, that when we come here, we enjoy, even if we haven't been here for a while, we love being with others that we haven't seen for a while. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord together. But it's what we think is what we're going to do and what we're going to say. So here's, it says, if you sow a thought, you're going to reap an act. So if you're thinking about something, you're going to possibly act that thought out. So it says, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, you're going to reap a habit. Then it says, sow a habit, then reap a character. And then it says, sow a character, and reap a destiny. When you get to the bottom of that list, ask yourself, is what I'm reaping and sowing, does it speak life? Does it encourage others? Do I encourage myself? Do I beat myself up, or do I encourage myself? Not setting you up on this question, but so are you where you want to be as a Christian? In some respects, I hope your answer is no. And the reason I say that is because as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus, we should always have the desire to want to grow more in the things of Christ, in his word. That we always want to grow more and more in those things. And when we think that we do not need to grow anymore, something is not right. Paul says after years of walking with the Lord in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eyes on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. Okay, so think about that scripture. If you're focusing on this, how can you be looking forward? How can you be looking forward when all this here is weighing you down? Getting your eyes off of looking forward, going forward with Christ, because you're so overwhelmed by what's going on in your life. You're so focused on this, how can you be focused on going forward? But it says in 15 of that particular chapter, it says, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment to God, God will clear your blurred vision. Your vision might not be blurred, but it might not be focused. And what I mean by that is, are you focused on this or are you focused on this? It doesn't necessarily have to be blurred, but where is your focus? Sometimes we can have blurred vision. We know that when you have 20/20 vision, your eyesight is pretty good. That they see pretty clearly. And we need that kind of vision to follow Christ. But how can we do that? We can find and have clear vision when we focus on this. Today, when I do children's church, we're going to be talking about the armor of God. And I want them to learn that when they are in fear for some reason or another, something at school, something at home, some TV show they watch, if they're in fear, that the Lord casts out all fear. And they need to learn where they can find that promise in this book. So when they're in here in this particular service of theirs, they all have a Bible, and I will say a chapter, I'll name a book, and I'll name a chapter, and then, again, like I said, they are to what? They get attention. And then after attention is what? You're supposed to... What's that?
Draw your sword.
Oh, yeah, draw your sword. Yeah. And then they are to charge, which means they get down. And again, if it's Philippians chapter 3, they start and they know that it's either in the Old Testament or New Testament. And some of them are small children. They don't understand the Old and New Testament, that they're separated. They have little helpers that help them. But the thing is this, that they're learning that they don't have to stay focused on what the fear or the thing that's bothering them. Because Satan, he has no mercy. He doesn't care what age you are. He just wants you out of the picture. He does not want you focusing on the Word of God. So, but it, as I said earlier, these children said the salvation prayer with all of you. Maybe there was one person in here that was an adult last week that had never prayed that prayer of salvation. That's between that individual and God. And we rejoice with you. And I maybe should have mentioned it more, but that's the reason why I shared that message, is because all the angels in heaven rejoice. There's a party going on. There's a celebration going on when a person receives salvation. And would you rejoice? And that's what we did when we finished that prayer. We rejoiced together as a church family. But it doesn't stop there. It actually begins there. A new life begins. A new hope begins. All things that are old are passed away, and all things become new. So when we get our eyes off of this, we're starting to get that 20/20 vision, that clarity. A good example of this is if, I should have grabbed, here it is, right here. How many of us have seen somebody take their phone and they're walking down the sidewalk and their eyes are here instead of watching where they're going? Anybody see anybody do that? Probably 50% of us. I've seen a commercial where a guy had his phone, and some of you might have seen the same commercial. He's walking alongside the pool, and before you know it, he went because he wasn't watching where he was going. And why? And you say, well, what's that got to do with this? If we use this to watch where we're going, we're not going to fall. We might get sidetracked a little bit. We might get detoured a little bit. But God will see that if we are faithful with this, He's going to see to it that we're going to get to where He wants us to go. We are to trust that when God has a plan, He is going to start it. He is going to finish it. But that doesn't mean the old Diablo, the old Satan himself, ain't going to come along and try to plant some of this stuff in your mind. Because he will fight you more then than he did before, because you were pretty much, if you didn't accept Christ then, you were pretty much doing all this stuff anyway, and you were probably enjoying some of it. But when you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't want this anymore. So he's going to fight to get you that this prime piece of property back. He's going to fight for it. But see, that's what Jesus said. He said it is finished. He said it is finished. The work that he came to do is finished. All we have to do is take the word of God and replace it. Replace it with what's here. We need to replace it with his word. So why do our thoughts matter? Because what we think about is ultimately what we're going to say, what we're going to do, and how we are going to walk our lives. So we must guard our minds and protect it so that we do things. Here's a good example. What are we watching? What are we watching on TV? What are we listening to on the radio? What are we downloading on our phones or our computers? Is it positive? Does it speak life? Ask yourself, if what you are doing or saying or watching, will it build you up or will it tear you down? Not just spiritually, but physically. Not just physically, but spiritually. Because ultimately, whatever you are downloading up here, in here, is what you are either going to walk or talk or do. Paul says in Ephesians 4:8, if there be any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think, meditate on these things. I ran across this, it was so cute, but I thought, this kid's got to be pretty smart. It says here, according to this little boy, thinking is when your mouth stays shut and your head keeps talking to itself. That's a pretty smart kid, isn't it? I'm going to say that again. It says, thinking is when your mouth stays shut and your head keeps talking to itself. The way our head talks to itself tells a lot about who we are and what we're going to do. And are we going to depend on the things of the flesh, or are we going to depend on the Word of God, spiritual things? To guard our mind and our hearts, to know that we don't want these things to influence us. We don't want them to take a hold of us, to keep us captive. Because when we do it God's way, we are going to accomplish more than we could have ever thought of or imagined while we are here. Our head talks to itself, and it needs to say this: keep that impure stuff out of here. Keep those thoughts out of here. I don't want them here. So when we are thinking that way, we will know that we are seeing 20/20 vision, that we are seeing clearly, and that when the next step that we take, we know it's a godly decision, God's direction, God's future for us. As we think on godly things more, it places thoughts of anxiety and worry and panic, it turns them into prayer. When we put God's word first, when we retrain our mind to match that new life, that new walk that we want. And yes, every day as a Christian, we could be a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. But it's always every single day staying hooked up with this word. None of us are totally exempt from hearing temptation from the devil. Every single day, he's going to try to enter in through this prime piece of property, and he's going to try to take over. I don't know who it was in here. I think it was a couple people who mentioned it about a month ago, that they were really concerned about this young generation of kids, not teenagers as well, but the children, and what they see going on in this world. And the battle that if they don't know this, how I think most of you might have said, how can some of, I think some of the ladies we were doing Bible study, and they said, how can you do it without the Word of God? How can you walk this life and be successful or not have fear? Or there's no hope. If you don't have this, there's no hope. How can you be encouraged when you don't have this Word, this promise of God? To cling to walk by, to live by, to confess, and believe in. In closing, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, His peace will guard our heart and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. You see, when we get rid of all of this and we put this in its place, we're going to find that peace. We're going to find that joy. We're going to have a hope that we never experienced before. Some of us today have so many prayer needs, not just for yourself, but for other people, family members, healing, free from addiction, free from a lifestyle that's brought them nothing but despair. And you want their lives to change. We have to stand in the gap for these people that are lost, totally lost, because they're so captivated, so caught up in these cares that they're blinded. They don't have 20/20 vision to realize that this is the answer to that. That this is the answer to all of this and more. And once this is all said and done, just like Jim, who is now with the Lord, he doesn't have to worry about any of this. But he had hope. He trusted in God's promise, not in this. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come today in this service, we come and we've expected to hear your word and a hope and a encouraging words from you, Father. But our flesh is weak, and it always wants to override the things of the Spirit. So, Father, we can't even do that of ourselves. Help us, Father, to find the time to discipline ourselves, to focus on your word and the promises in your word, so that we get our focus off of the cares of the world. And, yes, take that time to think about what we're thinking about. Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it worldly thoughts? Is it your word? Make it so defined that we can so easily realize this isn't you, this is you. This isn't you, this is you. us to separate those so that we can discard them, so that we can move on in the things of you, Lord, because we want to do it your way. We've done it our way, and all it's done is take that prime piece of real estate that you've given us, and it's filled it up with clutter. So, Father, today we ask that you set us free of all this clutter and bring us a peace that passes all understanding. Give us a hope that only you can bring. And we thank you, Jesus, that you paid a price so that we would not have to clutter our minds up with anything but you and your love for us. And we thank you for your love and for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.